All right. Who likes riddles? You like riddles? You know any good riddles? Well, tell me one. Think of it while I'll tell you mine. My favorite riddle. What goes up but never comes down? Age. Sorry. What's yours? Ah, I know that one. Does anybody know that? A man, right? With a cane in the evening, right? Yeah, okay. Okay, you can't see me, you can't hear me, but as soon as you say my name, I disappear. What is it?
Silence.
What? Silence, he got it. Okay, all right. Now here's my riddle for today. Why would the Son of God, standing in front of a blind man, ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" I was tempted to title this sermon, "The Dumbest Thing Jesus Ever Said." I mean, come on. Think about it, right? I always thought that being both fully God and fully man, Jesus got to be pretty smart. But this is really dumb. I mean, there's a guy standing in front of him, obviously blind, right? And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you think? What do you think he wants? You know, a cane? A crash course in Braille? You know, a seeing eye dog? No. The guy wants to be healed, of course. But what's going on here?" This is a riddle, this story about Jesus asking Bartimaeus, "What do you want me to do for you?" And actually, this isn't the only time Jesus has ever done this. If you pay attention to the text, you'll notice that in Matthew 20, it's the story of two blind men sitting by the side of the road. He says the same thing. They cry out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And what does Jesus say? "Duh, what do you want me to do for you?" Well, of course they want to see. Now, I don't know. Maybe Jesus forgot why he came to earth. Now, if you remember in Luke chapter 4, Jesus reads his job description. "Behold, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to send me to proclaim release to the captive and recovery of sight to the blind." Right? Did he forget that that's what his job was? I don't know. And this is obviously what these guys want, to see again. Or maybe Jesus is being clever. Think about this. Maybe Jesus is suggesting he has more to give to blind people than just recovery of sight. Maybe there's something else going on here in these weird meetings between Jesus and people who ask mercy from him. Another strange thing about these meetings is what he says after they get what they want. One of the most common things Jesus ever says to people who have been healed of a disability or a disease is, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." Your translation was "cured." Some translations say "healed you." Now the problem is that it's not quite what he said. Jesus doesn't use the Greek word for cure or healing. Therapeuto would be one of those words. Word we get therapy from. Now, despite the fact that he knows he is responding to a request that involves the removal of a disability or disease, he never uses those words. He could have used the word therapeuto, or like the synagogue official was indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. That's therapeuto. Nope, Jesus doesn't use that. He never uses the other common word, like in Luke, the healing of the 10 lepers, katharizo, to cleanse, to take away something which is dead. When you go out in your garden in the fall and cut away those brown blackberry vines that produced last year but are dead now, that's katharizo, cleansing, cutting away something, a word that comes from agriculture. No, Jesus doesn't use that. No, when Jesus tells people what they have received, he says, "Sozo," to be saved. 52 times in the Gospels, the word sozo is translated to be saved. But 11 times it's translated to be made well or sometimes cured, or sometimes healed. Go your way. Your faith has saved you. I don't know. Maybe Jesus is using sozo to be saved because there's something else going on besides recovery of sight or heal of a disease or something like that. The other weird thing, the riddle about this, is that response, go your way, your faith has made you well. It never says just what that faith was. There's never any description of what the faith looked like that they had. It's, no, not people getting on their knees and walking to Santiago or anywhere else. And by the way, you see that sometimes in the pilgrimage, people walking on their knees. No, it's not a confession of faith. It's just simply, have mercy on me, Son of David, or Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. You would think they would have said something about their own belief, their own faith. But all we get from Bartimaeus is, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then the response from Jesus, what do you want me to do? That's strange. Now, actually, considering that Jesus is offering salvation instead of cure or healing, it might have made more sense for Jesus said, what kind of salvation do you want from me? And this is where I think it gets really interesting. The Greek word for blindness has much less to do with the inability, with being physically unable to see, than the unwillingness to see. There's a whole other sermon in that one. I mean, that would take us way past 1 o'clock. No, I'm going to stick with this little story right in front of us. Now, come and think of it. Asking a blind man, what do you want, might not be so dumb after all. Bartimaeus has just told Jesus that he knows who Jesus is. He knows who Jesus is better than Jesus' own disciples know. Bartimaeus called Jesus Son of David. That's a title reserved for the Messiah. Bartimaeus is telling Jesus he knows who Jesus really is. For Son of David is the Messiah. And Bartimaeus is telling Jesus that he knows that Jesus is the coming Messiah. His disciples don't even know that. So Bartimaeus knows that whatever he asks from Jesus, Jesus has the power to deliver. What do you want me to do for you, then, is not so much a question as it is a test. Remember that Luke 4 job description, right? Recovery of sight to the blind. I have been anointed. That word anointed means, it's in Hebrew it's hamashiach, in Greek hamashiach rather. And the hamashiach is the anointed one, the greaser, somebody once said. Jesus, the anointed one. And that's the Messiah. To restore sight to the blind. And what does Bartimaeus want? To have his sight restored. Something that only Jesus, the Messiah, can do. So, what do you want me to do for you is a test question that could have been asked, do you really have faith that I am the Messiah? For only if I am the Messiah will I be able to restore your sight. And Bartimaeus' original description of Jesus as Son of David is the clue to the fact that he knows, he has faith that Jesus is the Messiah. And his answer, I want to regain my sight, is the right answer. To the test. He passed the test. Do you really believe I am the Son of David, the Messiah? It's the same as saying, what kind of faith do you have in me? Jesus could well have said that. Your faith in me has made you well. And that brings us to the really important word in this strange meeting, and that's the word mercy, or pity, or compassion. Have mercy, have pity, have compassion on me. 11 of the 32 times that the word mercy is used in the Gospels, it is coming from someone asking something from Jesus. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on us. Now we call that the Jesus Prayer, and it's described in the Sunday school class. Walking on this pilgrimage to Santiago in Spain, you hear that, people praying, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And sometime in the Middle Ages, they added the words, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. People say that over and over and over again. And Jesus heals people of a variety of those things, disabling things, not because he's trying to prove that he's the great physician, or because they're worthy of being healed, or because they have prayed the Lord's Prayer in the right way, or the prayer of Jabez, or any other prayer, magic words. No, Jesus heals because when they cried out, "Lord, have mercy on me," they have told Jesus that for them, Jesus is Lord. He is the Messiah. Now think about that. You would only ask mercy from someone who had the power to give mercy or withhold mercy. You wouldn't ask somebody of same social level as you as to give mercy to you. You only ask that of people who have authority, who have power. And when you ask that, you're doing something else. Some wise person once said that 90% of success is just showing up. I've always thought that was a pretty good idea, just showing up. Well, when you say the Jesus Prayer, "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me," that's what you're doing. You're just showing up. Again, that prayer is said by pilgrims walking. They're not asking for anything. Mercy is not a thing you deliver. It's a statement you make. It's not asking for a bed to be there at the end of the day, or for blisters to go away, or a cafe around the next hill. It's just showing up, just letting Jesus know that you're still here and he is still Lord. "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me," is simply saying, "Here I am again, still here, still your follower." Now, I don't know what kind of prayer life you have, what kind of prayer discipline you engage in, but ever since walking on the Camino, my prayer life is very simple. It's just, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am again, still here, still one of your servants. You are still my Lord. You are still my master." That's what I want Jesus to hear. But what I actually say is much simpler than that. What I actually say is, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." Why don't you say that with me just once? Ready? "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me." And what we have just said is, here we are, just showing up again to be your servants. Let's pray. Oh Lord, who knew it could be that simple? Just showing up by telling you that you are still our master, still the Messiah, we are still your servants. Bless us, O Lord, as we go now and be your servants and become again your followers. For indeed, you are Lord. Amen.